You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
And I'm excited to be in a much larger studio.
Oh, yeah, we're not breathing on each other's backs right now here.
I was just running from one side of the room to the other yelling, "What?" That's what you heard.
So I decided to teach Todd a few microphone techniques here about recording and not yelling into the mic. Apologize for everyone who had their eardrums busted last episode with us.
I was really excited.
Yeah, you were.
I was trying to tee you up and you weren't paying attention. You weren't listening.
Hey, I don't think and talk in tweets like you, Todd. We're not all gifted.
But you've heard me say the fruit of another leader is another leader.
Yeah, when you said that, I was thinking about one of your most tweeted tweets.
You were thinking about leadership grows, a leader understands their fruit grows on others.
Yes, that's when you said that, that's what I thought.
But the way to say that quickly is the fruit of a volunteer is another volunteer. The fruit of a leader is another leader. It's helping people understand when we're talking about leadership development, it happens at every level. And every person is called to move from being new at this and learning to leading and then to multiplying themselves. They may not ever become the pastor, and they may only be at the volunteer level for the rest of their life in the church, but they are called to multiply themselves again and again and again.
Yeah. So that phrase right there, the fruit of another leader is a leader. The fruit of another volunteer is a volunteer. If you didn't listen into episode 239, you're going to want to do that because we talk about metrics for leadership and how you kind of set the 2018, you know, this next year, this next month, these next few months, how do you actually measure well for recruitment? But before we get into our question, I just wanted to do a quick info bullet point for all of our listeners. Maybe this is the first time that you're tuning in, or you haven't really tuned in for a few, or, you know, maybe you've just been listening for the last 10 or 15 episodes, but newchurches.com is actually a part of Lifeway Leadership, the Lifeway Leadership family. And what newchurches.com is all about, the Godfather family, and what the family is all what the family is all about. New Churches, we focus on church planting, multi-site multiplication, resourcing. Lifeway Leadership, we just focus on church leaders, right? So Todd is the director of Lifeway Leadership, and what we just talked about in regards to recruitment, we are actually going to be having a pipeline conference on recruitment in Nashville in October 2018. Right. And in February, we're going to be doing a West Coast conference as well. So you can go to myleadershippipeline.com to learn a little bit more about that. But let's get into our question from, and I love this, Pavel is a Plus member with us. Yes. And he's sent in multiple questions, and I love it. Pavel.
As you delegate responsibilities to your leaders and you realize that one of the continues to make mistakes, continues not to meet the expectations you have set for them. What is your advice? How can you show grace without just telling them you're not good for this? What do you do? Do you train them? How much depends on that person as well? What are some signs that you can tell me what to do to see if a leader is ready to continue in a position despite their shortcomings?
Man, I love this. I love this. Not only is this a real boots on the ground question that we've all struggled with. And I'm sure as you are listening to Pavel talking about, I mean, maybe, you know, you probably have a few people in your mind right now that you're like, oh, they're in a leadership position, but they're not really doing what they're supposed to do. And I don't really know what to do. And I'm spending way too much time trying to coach them because they just don't get it, but I can't demote them. I can't kick them out. Well, you know, I'm sure we're thinking about that. But the second reason I like this question, Todd, is because this guy is your brother from another mother.
What do you mean?
Because he's in Kentucky.
Oh, he's from Kentucky. Yeah, we go way back.
Yeah, we go way back.
Clearly. And so, yeah, I would say, you know, it's really the idea of how do you assess a volunteer, and when you find them wanting,
especially when they're already in their position.
Totally. So there's a couple things at play here. One, I would say we need to, as the leader, we need to take a step back and say, what's my problem? Do I have a problem in this? So first of all, is it a personality issue? Do I just not like this person?
Oh, so maybe it's not even that it's the issue of the volunteer.
No.
Maybe it's actually, yeah. Okay.
Did I set clear expectations? Mm. Did I put someone in a position that they shouldn't have been in? Did I dump this position on this person? Did I think clearly about who this person was and who this position is before I put them in there? Is this a performance issue, or is this an attitude issue? Mm. Is this simply an issue where they don't understand people or have emotional intelligence and can't figure out what they're doing? So all of these things, I think, are potential issues that should be addressed. And the first thing I would say is, if you don't have an opportunity in place to address this issue, what I mean is, do you have a regular cadence of meeting with this person? So if you're just set it and forget it, if that's how you run your ship, if that's how you run your ministry, then you've got a problem, because you've put this person into this position and they're just running on their own. But if you have a monthly meeting or a bi-monthly meeting, or at least, you know, we even practiced annual reviews with our volunteers, which sounds crazy, but it was an opportunity to address areas, what we would say, areas of opportunity. So, and that's where, you know, if there's an area that they're struggling, it gives you an opportunity to address that. If there's an area of where, hey, this person is performing solidly, but now I need to see them multiply themselves, I'm going to help coach them up on how to do that. Or I want them to go to the next level of leadership, I'm going to help them do that. In this particular situation, we're talking about addressing an issue that is problematic. So if I've been very clear with what I'm asking them to do, and they're not performing or responding, then I need to then come back and bring back up the expectations that are there. They may be blind to it, and so be sure that you have real examples of where you've seen a disconnect or a miss in this area for them, and be able to explain why. Some of them may not understand what the miss was, and they may not know that they weren't doing what you asked them to do. So that's the first couple of things I would say. I'm going to let you answer this question, and then we can talk about firing people, firing volunteers after that.
Ooh, we should end with firing volunteers.
I'm ready.
Yeah, we should. So just a couple quick notes, man. I love the way that you started with, hey, you as a leader, we all have blind spots. We all have blind spots. And part of it is just being aware of those blind spots are. And one of those things is, we often teach the way that we've been taught. We lead the way that we've been led. We develop we delegate, or we dump in the way that we've delegated or been delegated to, dumped on, or developed. So as a result of all of that, we need to know what is before we can change things and move towards what could be. So Pavel, that's a great, you know, we're not just talking specifically to you, but for everyone. I mean, when you have a problematic volunteer, that is a really good place to start, to really just grow in self-awareness in regards to that, because there is a lot that does depend on you. But let's actually, I feel, Todd, that you covered that first whole section really well. So let's actually fast forward right into firing volunteers. Let's say you've realized it's not you, or maybe you did realize it's you and you have communicated your expectations. You actually have a job description. I mean, here's a quick shout out. If you go to lifeway.com/ministry grid, we recently completely built it up again from from the ground up, rebuilt it from the ground up. So you can assign training, monitor training, build training, take training with your thumbs, mobile first. So go to lifeway.com/ministry grid. Because one of the things that you can do for all your volunteers is not just give them orientation training, which we have on grid, but you can also give them ongoing training with our 700 courses that we have on the platform.
And there's, you know, sample role descriptions there as well.
Exactly.
So, you know, it may be that the person didn't understand what you were asking them to do.
Yeah.
So I don't care if you print that off and throw your logo on it, print it off, or you say, you know what, I like 70% of it. I'm going to tweak it to fit our church. Then great. Go for it. Do it. That's what we do. That's why we wake up every day, is to, you know, serve the local church. So.
Yeah. So having said that, let's say, yes, you did give them the role description. Yes, you did do orientation training with them. Yes, you, or maybe you missed that. So you're doing ongoing training with them. And let's say you're doing all of that, but they are not growing. They are not changing. They're not listening. And you know, I mean, where does it need to be for you to actually fire them, quote unquote?
Okay. So there's a couple of instances. If, you know, they're doing something that is unbiblical or divisive in the body, that's immediate. You don't have to go through any of these steps that we outlined before. If not, by this time you should have already addressed it with them, at least twice, I would say probably three times. And now it's the final, hey, it shouldn't be a surprise to them that this conversation is happening.
Yeah.
It shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage you before, you know, it's firing without another option to say, is there an opportunity to reassign this person? Mm-hmm. Is there an opportunity to reassign this person within the ministry that they're serving in or another ministry? It may not be at the same level, but it may fit their gift set a little bit better. If you can help them process that, and ideally for them to see that this is not a good fit, that's where the coaching part really takes place in this. If you can have that type of conversation and be able to help them see that this is not a fit for them, then it's a lot easier to do a reassignment. This person is created in God's image. He does have plans and purposes for their life. He wants them to grow closer to Christ, all those things. However, there's some people that that just aren't a fit for a specific ministry area. And honestly, they may not be a fit for your church. And if that's the case, then everybody needs to know that and be really upfront with it.
That was really pastoral, Todd. That was really nice.
For me, that's probably extremely pastoral. I talk about all the time, you know, we have as church leaders, there's two examples given. There is the pastor shepherd and there's the steward. And I lean toward the stewardship side.
Yeah. But what you just said there, I mean, when I heard you say fire and you just ended the way you did, I'm like, wow, that's really good.
Well, I mean, but ultimately that's what it feels like.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. It may not be that we're firing the person, but you have to remember, I mean, you know, this is a person and there's going to be feelings and emotions that take place with this and they're going to feel like they just got fired.
Yeah.
And so handling that well is vitally important. So reassignment, if at all possible, if they are sticking their heels into the ground and not, you know, just not having it, you've got a couple of options. One is you can say, hey, we're going to give you a sabbatical from this for a time. And then you can come back when you are in a healthier spot and we may give it another try. Mm. That's one way. Or the other is just, hey, I'm really sorry. This isn't good. I'm making this decision for our church. At that particular point in time, you're going to make sure that you have your bases covered, meaning I'm going to make sure that any governing body of the church understands what's about to happen. In a larger church setting, I don't know that it's necessary to like inform the elders, but you know, your immediate report, if you're not the senior pastor or you're not the executive pastor, you know, let's say you're the junior high pastor, you better make sure that, you know, your boss understands what you're about to do. So just think through that. And when you do it as graciously and gently as possible. And you always want to offer, you know, some other opportunity to serve. If they just won't have it at the end of the day, they can walk away.
That's a good word. Because sometimes you may have a conflict with an individual and you may automatically assume that it's just you not gelling well with that person. But if you switch that person's position or role or place that they're volunteering and serving in, that could actually be what solves the issue, right? Because 9 times out of 10, if you are frustrated with the volunteer, they are probably frustrated with you too.
Yeah.
So being able to just take those next steps and really coming back to the whole thing, start with yourself, lead yourself well. That's the beginning of when you look at our people development competency, you need to lead yourself well. And if you can't lead yourself well, you can't lead others well. You can't lead leaders well. You can't lead departments or an organization well. So it all starts with leading yourself well.
And the greatest opportunities for your personal growth and their personal growth usually happen in conflict. And I'm not talking about unhealthy conflict. I'm talking about caring enough to confront someone. Yeah. That's where coaching is vital. That's where giving and receiving feedback is vital. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to say to ask for real feedback and do it with such a posture that there's an openness to that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks again for listening in to our podcast. If you have not yet subscribed, be sure to do that on your favorite podcast listening app at whichever speed you listen to us in. Are you a 1.5 person?
Me?
1.25? 1, 2, 3?
I'm a 1.5 or a 2.
Yeah.
But you can't do that with Ed.
No.
He talks too fast, so it's like 1.5.
Yeah, and apparently my laugh, I sound really funny. Creepy. When I laugh at 1.5 or 2 double C.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Hey, I have this is an opportunity right now for you to be open and honest with me. So yesterday I got a haircut.
You did get a haircut.
And when I went in and asked for the haircut, I didn't see what they were doing. It's in the computer. They're supposed to do the same thing they did last time. And it's a half inch everywhere except for the tip top of my head. Yeah. Which is a thing if you're under 30. But I'm not under 30. So you got to give me open. I'm opening myself up to honest feedback. What do you think? Were you shocked this morning? Were you like, that might be a bridge too far?
No. I mean, you've had haircuts like that before. You have. I've done my hair one time. No, I mean, the top of my hair isn't as long as yours, but I usually do a number 2 on my sides.
Right.
One time I did 1, and yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is. Just the cut on the side, it really does lower your age.
My age?
No, I mean, anyone. Okay. If you have it, it makes you look younger. Because I mean, I don't know, maybe that's you don't have a tattoo, so it doesn't really.
I'm going to have to ask for feedback more often.
So, yeah.
That's slightly awkward.
Yes.
But let's end our podcast with awkwardness.
All right. And we'll catch you next time.
See you.